जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, गोपीजनवल्लभ गिरिवरधारी, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरावनचारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमदिजवाइन गुरु सभी चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णववृंद की, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 42 एंटाइटल्ड द ब्रेकिंग ऑफ द सैक्रिफिशियल बो, टेक्स्ट नंबर 5. ततस्तावंगरागेण स्ववर्णेतरशोभिना संप्राप्तप्रभागेन शिशुभाते नुरांजितौ, ततस्तावंगरागेण स्ववर्णेतरशोभिना संप्राप्तपरभागेन शिशुभाते नुरांजितौ, ततस्तावंगरागेण स्ववर्णेतरशोभिना संप्राप्तपरभागेन शिशुभाते नुरांजितो. Matajis,
Tatastavangaragena,
ఫార్వర్డ్ మీనింగ్ తతః దెన్ తావ్ దే అంగ ఆఫ్ దర్ బాడీస్ రాగేణ విత్ ద కలరింగ్ కాస్మెటిక్స్ స్వ దేర్ ఓన్ వర్ణ విత్ కలర్స్ ఇతర అదర్ దెన్ శోభిన adorning samprapta which exhibited para the highest bhagena excellence shishubhate they appeared beautiful anurangito anointed translation and purport by Disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Anointed with these most excellent cosmetics which adorned them with hues that contrasted with their complexions, the two lords appeared extremely beautiful. Purport. The Acharya suggests that Krishna spread yellow ointment upon his body and Balaram blue ointment upon his. So we'll read till text 10. I'll read the translations. Text 6. Lord Krishna was pleased with Trivakra, so he decided to straighten that hunchbacked girl with a lovely face just to demonstrate the result of seeing him. Text 7. Pressing down on her toes with both his feet, Lord Achyuta placed one upward pointing finger of each hand under her chin and straightened up her body. Text 8. Simply by Lord Mukunda's touch, Trivakra was suddenly transformed into an exquisitely beautiful woman with straight, evenly proportioned limbs and large hips and breasts. Text 9. Now endowed with beauty, character and generosity, Trivakra began to feel lusty desires for Lord Keshava. Taking hold of the end of his upper cloth, she smiled and addressed him as follows. Text 10. Trivakra said, "Come, O hero, let us go to my house. I cannot bear to leave you here. O best of males, please take pity on me since you have agitated my mind." Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti supplies the following conversation. Krishna is telling, "Is it for the purpose of dining that you are inviting me to your house?" Trivakra, "I simply can't leave you here." Krishna, "But people here on the king's road will misconstrue what you are saying and laugh. Therefore, please don't speak like this." Trivakra, "I can't help being agitated. You made the mistake of touching me. It's not my fault."
Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Milidham Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Rabhunathanmitam Dvam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanmitamscha हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगतपते
గోపేశా గోపికా కాంత రాధా కాంత నమోస్తుతే. తప్త కాంచనా గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరీ ఋషభానుసుతే దేవీ ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే. వాంచా కల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపా సింధుభ్య ఏవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార్ శ్రీవాసది గౌర భక్త వృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. So, when you are asked to speak on certain translations and purports, you get confused what to say. So, Prabhupada always comes to the rescue. So, I refer to the Krishna book. So, Prabhupada, he kind of gives a take-home message after describing this particular episode of how Kubja met Krishna and then Krishna showed mercy upon Kubja. So Prabhupada says, a Krishna conscious person does not have to be qualified or beautiful. After becoming Krishna conscious and rendering service unto Krishna, he becomes very much qualified and beautiful. A simple take-home message which Prabhupada gives. Essentially, what Kubja did was, she made the right choice of accepting Krishna's service. And that's what Krishna consciousness is about. You have to make the right choice of pleasing Krishna, serving Krishna. But as time is progressing, you know, Maya makes it more and more difficult for us to make the right choice of pleasing Krishna. In earlier times, the number of choices presented by Maya were fewer. So it was easy to choose to please Krishna. You know, I remember my grandfather, he had his house in a village. And the location was such that his house was in the middle of fields. Nothing around for so many, you know, miles. So every evening practically he had three choices. Either to stay indoors or to go outdoor and sit idle in the fields. Or third is do something spiritual. He had just three choices basically, right? Somehow he always opted to go out and sit idle in the fields. So even with three choices, he got it wrong. Now, what to speak of people today who have got thousands of choices. Maya presents so many choices. On any given evening, at any given moment, we have got so many choices of what we can do. And newer choices are coming every day. Earlier it was in the form of television channels, then in the form of websites, now in the form of apps. So many apps, new apps coming every day, new choices Maya is presenting. And so when there are so many choices, it's easy to miss out the right choice. And what is the right choice? Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is the right choice. And that's what Krishna consciousness is all about. Now regarding this Krishna consciousness. Now, I was trying to see in English, are there any words which can be used as nouns, verbs, adjectives and adverbs. So there are a few, but their meaning changes when you know, their meanings are different when they are used as nouns and when they are used as verbs or adjectives or adverbs. For example, the word well. It can be used in all four cases. It can be used as a noun, it can be used as a verb. It can be used as an adjective, as an adverb. But its meaning changes when you use it in different sense. So practically there is no word in English. Maybe he knows. As far as my knowledge goes, there is no word in English which can be used as a noun, as a verb, as an adjective and an adverb at the same time. But Prabhupada, he actually coined this phrase Krishna consciousness, which is used as a noun, as a verb, as an adjective, as an adverb and more. Whatever there might be in the English grammar. It's very interesting. Prabhupada is making a point. What he's trying to give us. Especially if we read the Bhagavad Gita purports. Krishna consciousness, Krishna consciousness, Krishna consciousness. So what I do sometimes is, I try to understand. So in this particular context, when Prabhupada is using the word Krishna consciousness, what is he actually trying to say? Because most often what happens is, we are so habituated to hearing this word Krishna consciousness, that we take it for granted. Sometimes we even make an abbreviation, KC, and get away with it. So, I try to do this exercise and try to see in this particular context what is Prabhupada actually trying to say when he is using the word Krishna consciousness. And it's amazing, at least with me, it gives a very deep understanding of what is Krishna consciousness. The phrase and the process. So coming back to choices, Krishna consciousness is the right choice we have to make. And whenever we make a wrong choice of not opting Krishna consciousness, not only are we affected adversely, but Krishna is pained. Now, this particular episode, it comes in the Chaitanya Bhagavat also. The reference comes in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. In Mahaprakash Leela. And in Mahaprakash Leela, if you remember, towards the end, Lord Chaitanya wasn't showing mercy to Mukunda. So all the devotees were very much affected. They pleaded to Lord Chaitanya, please bestow mercy upon Mukunda. Mahaprabhu said, he is an offender. He cannot see me for 10 million births. So the devotees told Mukunda that you won't be able to see Mahaprabhu for 10 million births. And Mukunda was dancing that I'll be able to see the Lord after 10 million births. So he was grateful that he will be able to see at some point in time. And then the Lord was so happy with his attitude that Mukunda was called immediately. And when the Lord, when Mukunda saw Mahaprabhu, he was overwhelmed. And then he starts composing prayers regarding seeing the Lord. He says that unless one has devotion, seeing the Lord is of not much value. And he gives so many examples. He says, Duryodhan, he saw you, my Lord, but because he had no devotion, he tried to arrest you. Then he gives the example of Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, Kamsa, and then he gives positive examples of Kubja and the women of Mathura, the Brahmana Patnis, who actually, you know, they had an attitude of devotion, so their seeing the Lord was fruitful. And when Lord Chaitanya hears these beautiful prayers by Mukunda, he says, yes, Mukunda, that's true. And it's interesting that, it's interesting and hope-giving, that Mukunda, you know, he spoke of all the big guys, like Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, Duryodhan. Now, they were really big-time personalities. Now, when Duryodhan was born, you know, Jackal started crying, asses started crying, so many things happened. When Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu were born, the entire universe became dark. They created an impact even when they were born. So Mukunda, he refers to all of these people. And Mahaprabhu, it was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who says that even the washerman, that particular washerman, he didn't offer me his garments. And so he became unfortunate. Mahaprabhu is expressing his pain that the washerman didn't use his choice properly. It's hope-giving because it's not simply that the Lord is pained when big-time people abuse him or speak against him. Even when small people, like the washerman, because he abused the Lord, we saw a few verses ago, the Lord was deeply pained, and here Mahaprabhu is expressing that. Now, when someone abuses us, you know, we also become pained, but that pain is because of hurt false ego. So it is dependent upon external circumstances, whether the person abusing is big or small, whether the abuse took place in a big crowd or was it done in private, or who did it, you know, male, female, other. So, but for the Lord, because the pain is due to love, it's regardless of the externals. So he was equally pained when Hiranyaksha abused him. He hurled abusive words at the Lord. In the third canto, the mention comes. It's explicitly mentioned there how the Lord was pained when Hiranyaksha spoke abusive words against the Lord when he appeared as Varahadev. And herein, in Chaitanya Bhagavat, we can understand how the Lord was equally pained even when the washerman spoke abusively against him. Now, of course, the Lord is pained more here because the washerman, he actually expresses this, that this washerman had performed austerities and penances for so many lifetimes by which he got the opportunity to see me. He was so close. He was so close. But then he didn't make the right choice and he lost the opportunity. Of course, the pain of the Lord was more here. So the Lord, you know, he wants us to make the right choice. In fact, the entire material creation is created by the Lord for training us to make the right choices. Now the purified souls, they make the right choice all the time of pleasing the Lord, serving the Lord. But the conditioned soul, he needs training of, you know, making the right choices. And because the entire material creation is designed to help us, to train us, make the right choices, now, it's no wonder that even material nature is designed in accordance with this plan of the Lord. Now, I was just thinking about this. Now, if you consider the regulative principles, for example, now, isn't it interesting that these regulative principles, if we follow them, it's good even for our material well-being? For example, intoxications. Now, even for material well-being, it is good to avoid intoxicants. So, what is material nature trying to tell us? Material nature is trying to tell us, follow these principles. It's good for you from every point of view. Right? And the modes of material nature. Isn't it interesting that the mode of goodness, which is closest to spirituality, the mode of goodness is like a stepping stone to spirituality. Now, isn't it interesting that this mode of goodness is even important for material well-being? Now, imagine if material nature were designed in such a way that the mode which was conducive for material well-being was different from the mode which was conducive for spirituality. How much more difficult it would be to make the right choice. So, material nature, if you observe it closely, it is designed in accordance with the plan of the Lord. The plan of the Lord is we have to make the right choice of turning towards Him, our loving Father. And material nature is encouraging us. Now, even for material well-being, you have to come to the mode of goodness. Come to the mode of goodness. So that when you come to the mode of goodness, that is suitable even for your spiritual advancement. So if you see, if you closely observe material nature, it's acting in accordance with the plan of the Lord. And the scriptures, which is provided in every religious tradition, actually verbally give us directions of how we should lead our lives, making the right choices. But somehow, right now, we are living in a world where we are slowly abandoning scriptures for whatever reasons. Unfortunately, the only reason scriptures are used many times is for the purpose of some kind of fanaticism. So in the world we are living in today, the scriptures are abundant, so people are making random choices, right? We are living in a world where people are making random choices. They don't know what is the right choice because they don't have the scriptures. So when you live with random choices, what happens? Chaos. At the level of environment, problems. At the level of society, problems. At the psychophysical level, problems. At the level of relationships, problems. Why so? Simply because we are not leading our life in accordance with the laws of material nature which are given in the scriptures. But then when there are too many problems on every level, human society, which has rejected the scriptures, what they try to do? They try to understand from material nature how we are supposed to lead our life. And that's the trend in today's world. A lot of research going on at every level, a lot of research in terms of to find out what relationship works, a lot of research in terms of how to lead our life in terms of psychophysical balance, a lot of research into how the mind works, a lot of research into how society can function optimally. All these things are already researched in the scriptures, but now that we have rejected the scriptures, the society, the world today, we are trying to find these things first hand from material nature through research. So that is the trend today, if we actually observe. So much of research going on, lot of surveys, lot of statistics. Now all the modern technology is used to conduct surveys. For example, there is a happiness survey. So there is an app. So at different times during the day, you can use the app to record, you know, how happy you're feeling. And the data such in, collected in this way is accumulated, and the trend, the pattern is observed. And then people come to conclusions. Intelligent people, thoughtful people, they try to derive conclusions from the trends of happiness waves. And then they try to understand, you know, how does human behavior function, and then trying to work out how we can be happy always. So I would like to present a few findings of these researchers. You know, it's interesting what material nature is telling. When these people research material nature, what is material nature telling them? Because this is not from the scriptures. It is material nature directly speaking to them that this is how you have to lead your life. First is a survey which was conducted on, you know, there are plenty of such surveys which can be found on the internet. So there was research which was conducted on stress. Because stress is a big problem in today's world. Now how to cope with stress? What to do with stress? So they found, through extensive research, through scientific research, through collection of data, through surveys, that when a person is stressed, pituitary glands, I don't know how to pronounce it properly, pituitary glands, so they release a hormone called oxytocin. Now the function of this hormone is to prompt the brain to take shelter of somebody. So when a person is under stress, this hormone is released by which the person is motivated to take shelter of somebody. And the cool thing is, when a person actually does it, when he actually follows the dictation of oxytocin, he becomes healthier. He becomes more healthy than a person who was never stressed in the first place. So getting stressed and taking shelter is more positive than not getting stressed at all. So what is material nature teaching us? Take shelter. Now what is the supreme shelter? Infallible shelter. Achyuta. Krishna. So what is material nature indicating? Another research. Now we are all looking for success in life. We all want to win. So they conduct research of how to win, how to be successful. And they found something interesting. They found that when a person is happy, and positive, he releases a hormone called dopamine. And through that hormone, his brain efficiency increases by 31%. That's substantial. 31%, he becomes more creative. He becomes more efficient. He becomes more alert. All positive attributes of the brain. So if you are happy and positive, the chances of success increase tremendously. But the million-dollar question is, how to be happy and how to be positive when you are yet to achieve success, when you are yet to win? So they found the answer. Gratitude. So this is a common thing which is being done, you know, by many management gurus. That what you do is, every day in the morning, you list three things you are grateful for. And you do this for 21 consecutive days. And all those should be unique. You know, three new things every day for 21 consecutive days. And in this way what happens is, you train the mind to be positive and happy. So that you'll achieve success. Now when you are doing this exercise, three things to be grateful for. Now, in the first place, what is gratitude? Now, I found a definition from Google Dictionary. Readiness to show appreciation for and to return kindness. Readiness to show appreciation for and to return kindness. Now, implicit in the definition of gratitude is, you are acknowledging that you are receiving it from a person. Otherwise, gratitude makes no sense. Sanskrit, you know, it's a very refined language, so it's explicit. Kritajna, right? Kritajna. Krita means the activity a person has performed for you. Jna, you are aware of it. It's explicit in the word itself that gratitude means you are expressing gratitude to a person. Implicit in the definition of gratitude is, you are thankful to a person for what the person has given us. Now, even this simple exercise of becoming grateful for three things every day, if you have to do it for 21 consecutive days, you know, you'll soon exhaust gratitude for parents, you know, teachers, you know, your friends, relatives, especially in Kali Yuga. They'll get exhausted very fast. And then you have to be grateful for the air we breathe, the water we drink, the fire of digestion, big or small. Now, if we have to be grateful for these things, whom are we going to be grateful for? Now, gratitude is required even for material success. Material nature is telling loud and clear. Now, this gratitude, if you have to come to this gratitude, when you come to this gratitude, you have to accept that I have to be grateful to God. What is material nature indicating? It's loud and clear. So, when I come across this data, such kinds of research, I'm reminded of, you know, what Devamrit Swami, he spoke towards the end of Nityananda Trayodashi festival a few years ago. You know, after the kirtan was over, you know, he said, you know, we are living in very interesting times. We are living in very interesting times. When we have rejected the laws, you know, I don't remember the exact words which he spoke, but basically what it means is, you know, we are living in times when, you know, we have rejected the scriptures, the laws of the Lord, And then we are trying to, and when things go random and chaos, we are trying to understand from material nature first hand what is the right way to live. And material nature is speaking straight to us. It's clear that her plan is in line with the plan of the Lord. That we make the right choice of turning to Him. But there is a catch here. What is that catch? Material nature is loud and clear, but it's like, you know, you're trying to listen what a person is saying, and the person is speaking clearly, but you don't understand their language. So you're hearing, but you're not hearing. The catch is, it requires grace to actually understand, even though material nature is clearly speaking. And the arrangement of the Lord is that grace, which is needed to understand what is the right choice, comes from His pure devotees. Now this particular story of Kubja, later on, Lord Krishna, while speaking to Uddhava, He says that Kubja had received the association of devotees previously. To be more specific, she had received the association of Narad Muni, by which she could make the right choice here. How grateful we have to be to Srila Prabhupada actually. That the world is confused, even though material nature is speaking loud and clear, we can make some sense of the whole thing because we have got Prabhupada's grace upon us. And to conclude, you know, we got a tremendous opportunity to actually assist the pure devotees in transmitting that grace so that the plan of the Lord becomes complete. Isn't it? The Lord is working so hard. He has built a solid plan. Beautiful plan the Lord has built. The material nature is programmed in the right way. Everything, the scriptures are giving the right instructions. The pure devotees are trying their best. So the Lord is trying His best and He's planning in every way. You know, wouldn't it be wonderful to be able to assist in this wonderful plan? And Prabhupada, His mercy was, He invited us to assist in this wonderful plan. Now, we are speaking about the negative effects of technology, but we can always see things in a positive way. If we see today's world, we have the power to transmit grace than ever before in human history practically. Now, one positive statement which can bring someone closer to making the right choice, you can get it across to billions of people in no time. I don't think ever in human history anything like this could have been done before. And Prabhupada trained us to be positive, to see things in a positive way and be an instrument in transmitting His grace to the world and the grace of His representatives to the world. Now, you know, a few days back, you know, I was going through the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. This, I am telling this because many a times we feel that this is not just the right time to preach. So much maya, so much negativity. So, in the 8th canto, we remember there is an incident of how, you know, the demons, by the blessings of Shukracharya, they attack the heavenly planets. And so all the demigods, they go to Brahma to take directions from him. So this is a time of crisis. What to do now? Now subsequently, when they actually go to the Supreme Lord tells them, this is not the right time. So what do? You make a truce with the demons at this point of time. But before the Lord can say that, Prabhupada makes it very clear in the purport. This is the right time for devotees to spread Krishna consciousness. He gives a 2-page long purport. And twice in the purport, he stresses that good times for preaching, they're going to last for the next 10,000 years. So there is no reason to say, at least in this lifetime, that things aren't favorable. That's Prabhupada's training. See the positive. I'm just reminded of, Radhana Swami Maharaj, he was speaking on Prabhupada's appearance or disappearance days. I can't distinctly remember which one of the two it was. Maybe around more than a decade ago, maybe 12 years ago. And Maharaj's classes on Prabhupada's appearance days and disappearance days are really distinct. They're super special actually. So, Rana Swami Maharaj, he was speaking this maybe a decade ago. So he was telling that, in every page of Prabhupada's books, in every purport, in every lecture, Prabhupada has a sense of urgency. Urgently he is trying to communicate to us, please take Krishna. Because only the pure devotees have Krishna with them, and only the pure devotees can give Krishna. So he is urgently requesting us, please take Krishna. Make the right choice of taking Krishna. And that urgency is in every purport, in every lecture. And he said, those who connected to that urgency, they became empowered to assist Srila Prabhupada in his mission. And then he went on to tell the story of a person who had joined Boston Temple during Prabhupada's days. And that person was really undisciplined, didn't really fit into the definition of a devotee. He said that, people called him a basket. Perhaps it's an American slang to refer to someone who is useless. So the devotees, they asked Srila Prabhupada, should we allow him to stay? Prabhupada said, let him stay. And Prabhupada says, Maharaj says that Giriraj Maharaj was at Boston Temple at that particular point of time, and he had witnessed this exchange of Prabhupada giving mercy to this devotee. And when Giriraj Maharaj saw that devotee again, after a very long time, he couldn't recognize that devotee because he was completely transformed and he was translating so many of the Goswami's literatures from Sanskrit into English, playing such a vital role in Prabhupada's mission. Somehow the devotee connected to that urgency of receiving what Prabhupada is giving. What Prabhupada is giving in every purport and in every lecture of his. It's hope giving. So, if we accept what Prabhupada is giving, we can be transformed immediately. Now Prabhupada says in a purport that, you know, you can become Krishna conscious in a moment, or it could take millions of lifetimes. It's simply a question of understanding and accepting the facts. Kubja did it immediately, and a transformation was immediate. That's what we are reading today. Complete transformation. So there is hope for everybody. For me also, just had to make the right choice. Thank you. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.